Gravity is something we can't see. But we know it's a great invisible force that keeps us all here on Earth. Some of you know what a magnet is, don't you?
I do. I am.
Well, then let's think of it like that. Gravity could be called a kind of magnet. It's a natural force that keeps us all from flying off into space.
We were always told that the world is flat.
You were told right. Don't listen to her. I've been patient with you, Sarah. Lord knows I've been patient. But now your words have revealed you.
The law of gravity was discovered by Sir Isaac Newton in 1687. That's almost 200 years ago, Uncle Evan.
There was only one law. The law of God. If our divine maker had meant for us to walk upside down, he would have put feet on our hands. Children, listen to me. Look around you. All around you. As far as the eye can see, the earth is flat. Now you see it that way. Because that is the way the Lord intended for it to be. Anything else is heresy.
But Uncle Evan, Columbus proved the world wasn't flat by sailing around it.
If he was sailing upside down, the water would have emptied into the sky.
Why can't you accept it? It's a proven scientific fact.
Sarah, what you speak is heresy. Our divine maker intended us to walk upright, not upside down. We've had enough of this scientific nonsense of yours. School is over. From this moment on, you will no longer corrupt our children's minds.
The children need me.
Not anymore, they don't.
If the Earth were truly a sphere 25,000 miles in circumference, airplane pilots would have to constantly correct their altitudes downwards so as to not fly straight off into outer space. A pilot wishing to simply maintain their altitude at a typical cruising speed of 500 miles per hour would have to constantly dip their nose downwards and descend 2,777 feet, over half a mile, every minute. Otherwise, without compensation, in 1 hour's time, the pilot would find themselves 31.5 miles higher than expected.
I'm in the airport. I just took a flight from Atlanta to Toronto, and I specifically picked the window seat because I knew I'd get a chance to see a sunrise. As you can see, I'm looking very touristy with my P900, but what I recorded was 100% proof that the sun is not 93 million miles away, so check it out. So here's the video I took. As you can see, the sun is about to start rising, and it's not even past the horizon. You can see the horizon in the background, and the sun is going to start rising through that thick layer of clouds right there. Now, if the sun was 93 million miles away, it would be rising at the horizon, not in the middle of the clouds, right there. So I was at about 34,000 feet when I was recording this with my P900, and I don't see how that is possible if the sun is 93 million miles away. So once again, this is where I was, heading from Atlanta to Toronto, looking east at the sunrise, and this is me wondering if anybody else and the plane saw what I just did.
We have a pilot here flying at 35,000 feet. He's looking at the moon over to his right. He got the sun over here to the left. The sun is below the horizon. That should never happen for a sun that's 93 million miles away. Here we have another guy flying right next to the sun. As we all know, clouds are not 93 million miles high, okay? So why is the sun below the clouds? If he makes a hard right, he can fly right into the sun. I mean, if he wants to check out early or something, but that's how close it is, all right? Here we are again, another pilot flying past the sun. There it is, local hotspot right on the clouds. Here we are again, the sun is right beneath these clouds here. I'm trying to figure out how this happens with the sun that's 93 million miles away. In fact, I know how it happens. It happens like this because we live on a flat enclosed system with a close and local sun and moon. As you can see here, the moon is below the horizon line, okay? This should never happen with the moon that's in outer space, 238,000 miles away from Earth, but yet it's below the horizon line. Here we are again, the sun below the horizon line. This is how you should be viewing the sun from an aircraft on a globe. Some people are going to say atmospheric refraction, but we just laugh at them because their indoctrination is showing. But remember, I just showed you guys a video of the sun right next to an airplane below clouds that are only 3 miles.
That device pairs perfectly with autopilot on an airplane. It knows the pitch of the airplane on any direction. But there's one thing where it doesn't work on. It doesn't work on a globe. It wouldn't work on a spinning ball. It would set its instruments off all goofy. Because it's on a flat plane. The planes don't compensate for curvature. And if you talk to a real pilot that flies internationally, not some crop duster that's flying over a few states, a real pilot that's flown internationally will tell you that it's flat. When you get to the North Pole and you pass it, your compass spins right back around and points right back at the center of the Earth. Read your Bible and love everybody. We'll be right back.
afternoon, everyone. I know all you guys have been wondering where I'm at. Well, I haven't put any videos out in a while. And the truth of the matter is, NASA gave me the opportunity to come up on the ISS and to video to be able to prove what the shape of the Earth was. So here we are, guys, as you can see. The Earth is round and it is spinning. Now, you guys believe me, you trust me, right? You have no reason not to. That's a beautiful view, a very, very beautiful view, if you believe in such things. Now, see how easily you can be fooled? Things aren't always what they seem. And that view right there, it's just like anything else you see through a toilet seat. Bunch of crap. Thanks for watching, and God bless.
Why is it that even though the Earth spins at 1,000 miles an hour at the equator, goes around the sun at 66,000 miles per hour, which travels through the universe at 500,000 miles per hour, which is expanding at over 1,000,000 miles per hour, are we able to take a picture of the sky on the same day every year and never see changes in the stars, even for thousands of years? Why does Elon Musk say, you can tell it's real because it looks so fake? That's because it does look fake. Look how the Earth glitches out in the background, but the car doesn't. And see how the Earth supposedly looks from the International Space Station, which is 240 miles up. However, this was taken from only 170 miles. Do you see an issue here? It's just like the Red Bull space jump in the Mythbusters episode that used downward-facing fisheye lenses to create massive amounts of curvature. But the non-fisheye lenses from the capsule in the cockpit show flat horizons, which concur perfectly with weather balloon footage more than 20 miles up. Which, by the way, 20 miles high is roughly the size of the bulge that should be in the state of Kansas due to it being 413 miles wide. Here's what 20 miles up looks like. That would be a large bulge for something that is supposed to be flatter than a pancake. And by the way, Kansas is only the ninth flattest state in the US. How many pieces of flat land does it take to make a ball? Why, when we look at the stars in December, do we see the same stars that we see in June? We should be looking in two totally different directions. If ships sail over the curve of the Earth, why are we able to bring them back into view with high-powered lenses as if they merely sailed past the horizon of the eye's angular resolution? Why are we able to see things over long distances, which according to the formula for a ball with a circumference of 24,900 miles, should be thousands of feet below the curvature horizon? And now, with infrared technology, we are seeing things that should be miles below the horizon, if we truly lived on a ball. If Eratosthenes proved the Earth was a ball thousands of years ago with an experiment using shadows, why do experts say that his results should actually be the same on a flat Earth with a smaller local sun? If the sun barely looks bigger than the other stars from Saturn, why is it able to completely light it up so that we can see it from Earth? And if something merely the size of the other stars can do that, why is the backside of Saturn not lit up by the billions of stars on the other side? And why are there dark sides to any objects in the solar system? If moonlight reflects the warm light of the sun, why is moonlight measurably cold? Why is it warmer in the shadows at night when it's the exact opposite of what we experience in the sunlight during the day?
moment in American history, the Apollo 11 moon landing. Here we can see Neil Armstrong taking that historic first step and becoming the first man to walk on the moon. Yes, Timmy?
Who shot that?
What?
Who shot that footage?
What do you mean?
Well, if Neil Armstrong was the first man on the moon, then who's holding the camera?
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Well,
who's out there with the camera?
No, I know what you're asking. I'm just...
very fine-grained as you get close to it. It's almost like a powder.
Could have been like a tripod, or... No, that's not.
Hey, Mr. Teacherson, what can I do for you?
Who shot the moon landing?
Neil Armstrong.
No, he was in it. I mean, who's holding the camera?
Wait a minute, I know this. It was... I have no idea.
Yeah.
What?
I know.
Hang on a second.
Hello?
Hey, Mr. Mayor. Who shot the moon landing?
Buzz Aldrin.
No, he was in the ship.
I don't know. Alien? Wait, hold on one second.
Thank you for calling the military.
Hi, yes, I have a question.
Don't ask, don't tell.
No. Who shot the moon landing?
Obama residence.
Yes, Mr. President. Who shot the moon landing?
Who's asking that?
Some kid from PS-139.
Hold on.